Okay, let me tell you before we start that I do have a tape on Shimshon already, EH94. So if you want to get additional information besides what I'm going to speak about the next few weeks, I don't know, actually by the time we finish here, probably have covered all of the tape. But theoretically speaking, there is additional information on Shimshon which I have on tape. But let's here we're going to talk that's more from the psukim themselves. The tape is really more outside. And we'll start. Parakim Gimel. By Sivim Neisrael Asos Rabbi Nei Hashem, Am Yisrael began, continued to do the evil in the eyes of God. By Nei Hashem Biyah Plishtim Arboim Shana, Kosh Baruch Hu gave them into the hands of Plishtim for 40 years. Now, it's interesting, a few things here. First of all, this is the first encounter with, really, the first encounter which we have with our subsequent perennial scourge, the Plishtim. They really have not bothered us in Sefer Shoftim that much till now. At the same time, as we've finally come to Plishtim, we're also for the meeting actually are for the last Shofet in Sefer Shoftim. There are a couple of Shoftim in Sefer Shmuel, and perhaps an interesting discussion would be why Eli HaKohen and Shmuel HaNavi were put into Sefer Shmuel and not into Sefer Shoftim. But certainly Shimshon is the last of the line here in Sefer Shoftim. There are no others after him. Obviously, these things should be connected. The fact that we first meet the Plishtim here, and that our hero Shimshon is the last Shofet of the Sefer, would stands to reason that they are integrally connected events. We're not going to explain that right now. Perhaps in the course of events, we'll be able to explain it. The Radak says that these 40 years mentioned the Pasuk of repression included Shimshon's 20 years of Shofet. Shimshon was not able to affect enough of a salvation that Am Yisrael is considered to be free, and therefore the 20 years of Shimshon are included in the 40 years in which the Plishtim had reigned. Now, yeah.
In other words, once the Plishtim conquered, what was their system, their shita of rule? Did they allow for some kind of autonomy, including local shoftim, or
We don't know yet. It's too early for us to tell. We're going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait to see more details about the first parak, which we're going to see tonight, is completely dedicated to the events prior to Shimshon's birth. At the moment, we don't know anything about the nature of the oppression of the Plishtim. In the next parak, we're going to see more about that. So we don't know, and tonight we're not going to deal with it. So I can't answer your question tonight. I'll have to wait till next week. Now that we have five people, I can stand up already. Okay, so...
You want me to leave?
Let's go out to say, I always feel more comfortable standing up, but with three people here, it's so... Don't stand up. Okay. What about four? I don't know. So number two, let's go to Pasuk Beis.
So stiff now.
Yeah. You see, I'm already beginning to think the right way. Now let's go to Pasuk Beis. Vayi Yishechon Mitzora. There's an individual Mitzora. Mimishpacha Sadoni. From the tribe of Don. Ushmo Manoach, and his name was Manoach, and his wife was barren, and she didn't give birth. Now, there are a few important things here. First of all, the Medrash comments in Bamidbar Yud Beis, that's the Bamidbar Perek Yud in the Medrash, which is in Parashat Noso, where the Parashat of Nosir appears, is a little bit of a running commentary on this Perek in Nach. And because it says Isha Chon, the Bamidbar Rabbah says that from this Lashon we know that Manoach was a Godo. Was a great man. On the other hand, however, the Gemara in Erevin says that Manoach was an Amoritz, and we will prove that later in the Perek as well. So obviously we know already from Yiftach that it wasn't a contradiction. One could be a very righteous individual and know very little Torah at the same time. This seems to have been a common occurrence in the days of the Shoftim. It seems like people were ignorant. And nonetheless, they tried to do the right thing. So Manoach, we see, was a great man. He was a righteous individual, Ish Echor. But he was also an Amoritz. Why does it say that he was Mitzora, Mimishpacha Zadani? Because Tzora was a city in the tribe of Yehuda. And he himself was from Shevet Don. From this we learn that he was from Shevet Don, he himself, but his wife was from Shevet Yehuda. His wife was, in fact, from the descendants of Yehuda, and Chazal say that she was, her name was Hatzlal Fonis. Remember that one. So Gemara Baba Basa Daf Tzadik Aleph. Hatzlal Fonis, and the Medrash also discusses that there in Bamidbar Rabbah. Now we're going to talk about that name in a couple of minutes. Let's first go look with me inside, please, in my notes.
We say the Don that lived within his wife's.
And his wife's
Sheta?
Yes. It seems like Torah and Eshtol were on the border, and parts of it might have been in, or Eshtol is going to be at the end of the parak. Parts of it might have were in Dan, and parts of it were Yehuda. So I guess it's possible he lived in the Dan part of Torah, but Torah was also in Shevet Yehuda, was one of the cities on the boundary. Okay, now let's look at my handout here, please, where I have a quote from Reb Tzadok. A little bit is cut off in the margin. So, and I also have a cutoff copy, so let's see if I can guess the first word on each line. In the, on the fifth line, sixth line down, Amar Azal, Chazal said, Shechoshav Yaakov, that Yaakov thought, Shehu HaMashiach, I'm going down to the next line below that, that you thought that Shimshon would be Mashiach. Ki imo Hatzlalfoni, his mother Hatzlalfoni, Kidisa Babasra, which was her name, as mentioned by Babasra, who are whom is Shevet Yehuda. Well, he, Mishavet Yehuda, was from Shevet Yehuda. Bibnei Chur, from the descendants of Chur, Shemimena Yishtaushlus based David, from whom came the chain of based David. God came be Betzalel, which comes from Betzalel. Now, it's interesting, Betzalel also, if you remember, Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur was only one of the 1-2 team which made the Mishkan. Who was the other part of the 1-2 team? What? If you tell me from what Shevet it is, I'll be good enough. That was from Shevet Yehuda, obviously. And Eliyav ben Achisamach lemateh Don. That was the other one. So we see that there's this connection between Yehuda and Don over there and over here as well. Kamfurish b'divrei Yomim v'chein Mashiach, and so to Mashiach ye'avi miYehuda v'imo midan. His father will be from Yehuda and his mother from Don. Fulefech, and Shimshon was the opposite. Why the two? Ki inyan Yehuda v'Don, the connection of Yehuda and Don, Shem Rosh v'Sof HaShvatim. Yehuda is the highest of the Shvatim, and Don is the lowest of the Shvatim. Kamo she'en l'cha muzal, like Chazal say, en l'cha d'godu m'Shvatim, yosem m'shim nidam m'Yehuda, v'yard m'Shvatim, yosem m'Don. I think Rashi brings it down al Torah there in Parshas Truma. V'chiburam, and their connection, is that the beginning and end connect and becomes one circle. It says at the end of Tainus, the last Gemara Tainus, it says that when the world will come, all the tzaddikim will make a circle. And everybody will stand in the circle and point, so to speak, at the Shechina in the middle and say, Zekeli Vanveyu. So from this we see that everybody's connected, just like all points in a circle equidistant from the center, so to everybody in Am Yisrael, all the Shitos and all the Drachim that point to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are legitimate. And the point of connecting Yehuda with Don is to show how all of Am Yisrael, all the Shvatim, it's not one straight line from Yehuda down to Don, and Don being the lowest, it's a circular line. Each and every Shevet has their own purpose. And just like Yehuda has a purpose, Don also has a purpose, and it's also a significant purpose. And Mashiach unites everybody. Ki yesod igulim biyosha. There's a secret of igulim, everything in a circle, and it's a secret of a straight line. We know, in fact, that there is a straight way of looking at things. Yehuda being the most noble of Shvatim, Don being the most coarse of the Shvatim. But that's only on a superficial level. On a deeper level, everybody has their job, everybody has their tafkid, therefore it's all a circle. And you all know that the primary thrust of every Hasidish story you've ever heard in your entire life is about how Yanko the water carrier, or Moshele the tailor, was just as holy as one of the great Rebbes, and he was one of the Lamav of Tzadikim, or whatever. Every Hasidish Maisa is like that, right? There's nothing wrong, doesn't mean it's not true, just because it's a Hasidish Maisa. So that's exactly what we're saying here. That That's exactly what it's saying here. That everybody has their tafkid, everybody has their job, everybody has their task, and everybody's connected. V'hainu I can't read the next word. V'hainu I cut off here. Anyway, v'hainu b'chlau or pnimin or makif. That there is, in Kabbalah, there are two concepts. One is the internal light and one is the enveloping light. And to look at things internally, one sees only one picture. To look at things from the inside. But you look at the outside, the broader view, then you see the enveloping view, you see how everybody is connected, everybody is significant. Now, from this we see, says Reb Tzadok, that Shimshon was supposed to have been Mashiach. And that's what Yaakov Avinu looked forward to when he gave the bracha to Don. Don Yadin Amo Keachad Shiftei Yisrael. Don should be the unique shofet, the one which is the Mashiach. You know, Chash Don Ali Ali Derech Shvifon Ali Orach. Don should be a Nachash. What's Nachash in Gematria? Which word? What? Mashiach. Is that what you said? Why did you say it under your breath? I couldn't hear you.
No,
they don't want to be on tape. Tonight you're shy. Nachash equals Mashiach because Mashiach comes to rectify the chait of the Nachash. The first sin is rectified by the Mashiach. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu wanted Don. He knew that Don had a part in being Mashiach. Whether the father was from Yehuda and the mother from Don, or vice versa, somehow or another, Don was going to be a component of that. It says that once Yaakov saw that Shimshon was not going to be Mashiach, they said, "Oh, Lishuas Chakivisi Hashem, Mekosh Baruch Hu, save us, if not through Shimshon, then through somebody else." But in any event, there was something special here. The connectedness of Don and Yehuda was something special, and we're going to come back to that later on. I'm going to leave it at that for the moment. Then the pasuk goes on and says, "Lushmo Manoach." His name was Manoach. The Medrash Rabba in Bamidbar there says that Hashem Kaidmin Lushmo, Achatzadikim Shmon Kaidmam. Wherever you see Ushmo X, the person was a tzaddik. Wherever it says an X Shmo, the person was a rasha. That's a general principle throughout Tanakh. So here it says Ushmo Manoach. That means that he was a tzaddik. Why is that? Because a tzaddik is supposed to be an individual who takes his name, his potential, and fulfills it. He goes from the potential, from the shame, and becomes that individual. A rasha wastes his potential. He had potential to be a great person, and he just becomes shmo. He remains with that potential, he never truly fulfills it. That's like the famous maaser with Reb Zusha, right? That he said, when he gets to Shemaim, they're not going to be asking me why I wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu, but why I wasn't Zusha. Right, each and every person has the potential expressed by their name. The tzaddikim, they go in fact to take the shmo and bring it and crystallize it, and they become whatever their name actually is, as opposed to the rishayim. So rishayim kodesh shmo, tzaddikim shmo kolbam. That was his name, Manoach. Her name was Slavonis. It's a very funny name. What does it mean? So by the way, there are a couple of gersos: Slavonis, Hat Slavoni, Hat Slavoni. But the Medrash says her name was Hatzlaufoni, because Tzel Koros, the word Tzlau, refers to Tzel, the shadow. And we know that by the Malachim, by Avraham Avinu, it says, by Lot, I think it says, Kel came basem b'tzel korasi, that the Malachim came under the roof of Lot. So Tzlau refers to the fact that she saw Malachim. Later on in the parak, we're going to see that she had this encounter with Prokin. And poni means to gaze at. She gazed at Malachim. The Medrash Rabba says, why is it hot Slavoni? According to Gemara, Barabbas, her name was Slavonis, without a hey. But the Medrash Rabba says her name was hot Slavoni, because she saw it twice. She saw Malach twice. Now, what is Slav is an interesting word. Slav Gematria is 150. A what? Well, that is the number of variations where Rabbi Meir had to be Matiris Asheretz. It says, the famous Gemara, Talmud Vasi Koya B'Yavne, Shoyachol Etaris Hasheretz B'Kuf Nun Taimin. I believe it was Rami Meir, if I'm not mistaken, that there was an older Talmud in Yavne who was able to prove that Hasheretz is actually Tohar with 150 Lamdash Svaris. So 100, why 150? Let's assume it's 150. So Hetzach Tzu to what Reb Tzadok says. Reb Tzadok says that it says about the Teva, that the Teva, Kinim Tases HaTeva. Now, Kinim means compartment, but Kinim also represents the word, the 150. Kinim, without the Yud, spelled there, Kuf Nun Yud Mem, is 150, because the Teva, the Ark, held 150,000 mikvos. How so? Because a mikvah, we know, is 3 amos by 1 amma by 1 amma. 3 square amos. The Teva was 300 amos by 50 amos. That's 15,000 amos, right? 300 amos. What did I say? By 50 amos, right? That's 15,000 amos. Square amos. No, 15,000 square amos, right? Oh, wait a second. Mikvah is 3 cubic amos. And the Teva was 300 by 50 by 30, if I'm not mistaken. Or was it 300 by 100 by 30? I think it's 300 by 50 by 30. So that would be 300 times 50 is 15,000, right? Times 30 is how much? 15 times 30? 450. So it's 450,000 divided by 3, 150,000. So 150,000 mikvos in the Teva. And the Yam of Shlomo HaMelech, the Shlomo HaMelech's Yam in the Beis HaMikdash, the one which held the water for the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, held 150 mikvos. Kufnun. So why are all these things related? Because, also the water rose 150 days. It says, by Yigbru Amayim, by the Mabul, 150 days. So what's the significance of all these numbers? All these 150s. So in brief, 50, of course, represents a unit, like you mentioned before, 5, but 50 represents a unit of freedom. Well, where we see that? Freedom. Yoga. Yovel. 3 times 50, of course, represents a complete Chochma Bina Das, a complete unit, just like 30 represents a Shlemus, 50 times 3 represents complete freedom. And that's what Tara is. The ultimate Tara is complete freedom from sin. By the way, people make a common mistake that to equate Tara and Kedusha. It's not the same thing. The opposite of Tuma is Tara. The opposite of Kodesh is Chol. And they're not the same. In other words, Tara is the absence of sin. It's not sanctity. Sanctity is something completely different, completely positive. Tara is negating something negative. Kedusha is going beyond, it's going positive. But the essence of Tara is freedom. Taking away all sin. Clearing all the blemishes. Starting with a clean slate. And the 150 days which the Mabul did, clean slate. Start the world over again. The Teva, those who are in the Teva were then 150,000 cubic mikvos, clean slate. Start over again. The Yam of Shlomo HaMelech, the Tara for the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, the Beis HaMikdash, clean. Clean the Kohanim. Absolutely clean. New, brand new. The 150 of Shimshon, of Tzlafonis, was also, Shimshon was supposed to start totally pure. We're going to see his mother was told, don't drink any wine while you're pregnant. Not the slightest possibility of being tainted. It didn't help, nonetheless. But that was the intent, that she should completely be like Tzlau. What does Tzlau come from? According to Medrash, Betzel Korasi. By Betzalel, who was her great-grandfather. Also, you see the word Tzlau there? By Betzal El? Well, there means Betzel Kel Ha'isa. That's what Chazal say the name Betzal El means. You were in the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You were being safe kept by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to here we wanted Tzlau Fonis to be Betzel Kel in the same way, to be completely pure. And then we're going to see later on that she was to begin with a big Tzadekis, and the Malach told her to be an even greater Tzadekis. Now let me just explain one more thing before you... I'm going to get that. So lula is clear. That's right. So lula, mayim tzulim are clear. That's right. Clear waters. Now, one other thing in this regard is, like you mentioned, so lula litzlol means to dive. Well, what? Why? What is so lula? So lula is clear, and litzlol means to dive. It's clear, obviously, we understand this connection to Tara, but why is diving? What does that have to do with Tara? So you dip in the mikveh, right? You dive into a mikveh. But there's more than that, which is that there's a famous medrash, didn't look it up, but it's for tonight, but it's very well known. Mi tein tohar mitame. That's a pasuk in Iyov. Lo echad. Who can produce tohar from tame? Only the one, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's tohar mitame? Avram miterach. Yisrael mina umos. And it goes on to give a whole bunch of analogies like that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in a fashion that tohar should come from tameh. You don't understand why it should be that way. David HaMelech, he came from this whole sordid background. First of all, he came from Moab. Besides that, there was this whole issue with his mother, you know, whether she was Mizana and not Mizana, Yishai separated from the mother. Evan Masu Habonim Hoysel Rosh Pina. Ein Memani Parnasel Tibra Lekin Kupa Shoshrati Munacha Sakrav. You don't appoint the leader unless he has a sordid background. So it means you should be humble. But besides that, we see that there's a concept the entire world is bringing Tahara out of Tuma. That means to dive into it and bring out, find the holy thing, the kernel of Tahara, which is surrounded by the husks of Tuma. That requires, just a minute before you point out, that requires Bina, understanding, right? Because you have to understand that even though you see something totally Tameh, there's something tar underneath it. From Terach, who would have thought Avraham Avinu could have come? That's the godless. To see that tar can from Tomei. That somehow or another, if you peel away the layers, if you see a Jew as a chayte, that you could see that you could peel away those layers of chayt, clean them off, and come and bring out the tar from inside of it. Bina, that understanding that there's something underneath to find, that's nitno lenashim. Right, Bina Yisera Nitno Lenoshim. That's why Slavonis was given the task here to make sure to maintain the purity, to maintain the high standards. They're Mavin Dover Mitoch Dover. They can understand this process of bringing out. And then, in fact, just to end up with this point with a little gematria again, is that Kuf Nun is, of course, half of 300. And we said last week that the letter Shin represents the totality of Olam Hazeh. Usually in the Gemara it connotes the totality of a negative manifestation of Olam Hazeh. To take that and break it apart and find the kernel of good within is to divide it in two, to make two 150s out of it. So that's the Tohar Mitame. Yeah, what did you want to say?
I was going to ask about the Tohar from Tome is Tohar, and it comes from the Zera, which is Tome.
That's right, and Paraduma is the same way, right? Paraduma makes the person who is Osek in Tome, and it itself brings out Tara. That's where the great paradox of this world, that we can have Tohar come from Tome. Okay, let's go out to Pasuk Gimel. Vayera Malach Hashem al Isha. So Malach Hashem came to two women, and he said to her, Hineino at Akarah, you are barren. Vloyalanit. Now, why is the Malach stressing this? So the Medrash says that they had a little bit of a domestic squabble there. Each one blamed the other for the fact that they were barren. Slavonis blamed her husband, and her husband, Manoach blamed her. So the Malach was telling her, listen, you should know it was your fault. You're the one who had the reproductive problem. Okay, I'm not telling your husband this, but you should know that it's your fault. By the way, there's an interesting book, which is not a bad one, although it is written from a certain Drush standpoint a little bit. It's written from a deep book, but it's also has, I don't know, whatever. I'm not clarifying what I would say. Well, it's pretty good. It's called Samson's Struggle. It's an English book. It's put up by Rabbi Gershon Weiss and Moshkei on Staten Island in collaboration with Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan. It was put out in 1984. and it's based partially on the Reb Tzadok. To the extent it's based on Reb Tzadok, I like it. So it's a book which is available. It's kind of he goes pasuk by pasuk in English through the Prakim on Shimshon, and he points out, this is why I don't like it so much in this parak, because he tries to make it also more or less than about how to maintain Shalom Bayis in a Jewish home. So all right, I don't know if you could see that so much in the Psukim, but he does build on Psukim like this in order to bring out that lesson.
What's your question? Why are you puzzled by what the
Melach said? Why do you have to stress? Hinei no atakara. We know she's akara. No, but she knows she's akara. What, the Melach has to tell her that? He has to rub it in? So it's mashma that he's telling her, at akara, b'loyolad. It's your fault. From which Rabbi Weiss wants to find out that he was doing this in order to try and restore the Shalom Bayis, and saying it's your fault, you shouldn't have tainus on your husband. Could be. Enochanami, one could make that argument. That's why I'm not so sure I like that approach. But in any event, it's an interesting approach. Vatoi Sharmina, I recommend the book. I was going to bring it tonight and show it to you, but I forgot. Vatoi Sharmina, and now be careful. Va'al tishti yain v'sheichor, don't drink wine and any alcoholic beverages, Targum says old wine, new wine, and old wine. You know, it's not forbidden to drink alcoholic beverages, just not stuff made out of grapes. Va'al tochli kol tamei, then don't eat anything tamei. Now this doesn't mean tamei mamish; it means anything which nazir is not permitted to eat. As a matter of fact, we know that although a regular Nazir is forbidden to come into contact with dead bodies, a Nazir Shimshon, the unique Nazirus of Shimshon, is allowed to come into contact with dead bodies. What's the Raya? Shimshon killed a lot of people. So from this we see that a Nazir Shimshon is allowed to be Matami Lamesin.
The
humble
side of Nazir is something which Yahadut accepts, condones, but doesn't encourage.
Oh, you just fell into one of my traps. Can you repeat that again? No, it's okay. It's not true. It's a misconception. Can I have a Rambam HaFlo? Just give me a Rambam HaFlo. Adarabba. I want you to know, it's not. No, I was going to spend planning on speaking about this a little bit later, but now that you brought it up, we've been misguided and misinformed by our own culture, which is that everybody's been brought up, us have been brought up to say, oh, Nazir has to bring a chatos because he was mazir out so many ayin, and Jews are not supposed to refrain from pleasures. You all know that Gemara, right? So Gemara appears at least twice in Shas. First of all, it's not even clear that we paskin like that mandomer. We might paskin as a mandomer that a Nazir brings a chatos tam, not because he was mazir out so many ayin. It's a whole complex issue how the Rambam paskins. But listen to the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Nazirus. The Rambam says, and you'll see that the Rambam clearly didn't hold that way. The Rambam says, Omer Reini Nazir, Imer Sekach Bekach. Somebody says, I'll be a Nazir if this happens, or Im Lo Sekach Kiyotzer, if I don't do this, Harei Rosha. To do a make a Nazirus on condition is an evil thing. When Nazirus kuzumi, Nazirus ushoimu. That's the Nazir, an evil Nazirus. Avala noyder Hashem derech Yusha. But somebody who takes a vow to Hashem to be a Nazir in a manner of holiness, hareza noya. It's proper. Umeshubach, and praiseworthy. Val zenema, and this it says, Nazir alokova rosho. The crown of God is on his head. Kodeshu Hashem, he's holy to God. V'shoklo akosu kinovi, and the pasuk puts a novzir on the same plateau as a novi. Shenam, as it says, v'akimi bneichem l'neviim. There's a promise, a prophecy. I will take from your children to be prophets, u'ibachureichem, and from your young men l'nezirim to be nezirim, to be Nazirites. Now, it's an amazing thing which the Rambam is saying, which is that a Nazir is a good thing. It's like a Navi. It's a holy thing. It says, Rabbi Elazar HaKfar says, a Nazir is a sinner. A contradiction. Similar to the way we said one could be a Tzaddik in Amoretz, you can also be a Nazir and a Chayti at the same time. We live in an imperfect world. In a perfect world, one could be a wine guzzler and still be holy. That's what the Hasidim tried to do, right? They tried to make drinking a holy act. In an imperfect world, you can't do that. You have to separate yourself somewhat in order to be holy. Hi, it's negative? Granted. But it's worth it for the ultimate purpose. There's a similar quote from Rabbi Yisroel Salanter. Rabbi Yisroel Salanter said, the Torah wants you to be a social person. It said Rabbi Yisroel, commenting on his own situation, but it's impossible to be a social person and still be an Oyved Hashem. One has to, by nature, close oneself off a little bit. That's not the optimum. It's not ideal. But sometimes it's necessary. So the same thing is true about Nazirus. There are negative components of Nazirus. It's true. And Shimon HaTzadik, in fact, wouldn't eat from the Karbonus of Nazir because he was afraid that the Nazirim he came into contact with were too negative. They weren't doing it for the right reasons. But a Nazir, which does it for the right reasons, it's true that there are certain things which are not ideal. But the overriding purpose of Nazirus, because of the great level of Kedusha which achieves, is positive despite that drawback. You understand what I'm saying? So the same thing is true about Shimshon. It's true that Nazirus perhaps is not the path for everybody. But for Shimshon, it was certainly to be the path, and it was dictated by Shamayim, in order that he should be able to achieve great things in life, and perhaps even be the Mashiach.
We're not talking about Shimshon in Nazirus, we're talking about other things.
Oh, so this is a special type of this by Shimshon. The Nazirus was so strong that it even impacted HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the vehicle of the Malach, even told his mother to become
according
a Nazir.
The Rambam,
yeah.
He has an ayah, right?
Oh, yeah,
there.
He could have brought more right. That's right.
The prescription for giving birth.
Prescription to begin birth to a holy person is to be a Nazir. That's right. That's right. I only came to this perspective myself because of Reb Tzadik. Because Reb Tzadik, one of the major points that Reb Tzadik makes in many places is that in this world, there can be many different components in a deed or in an act, some of which are positive, 99% are positive, and one of which is negative. I don't say the 99% positive washes out the one negative. For the 99% positive, you get 99 measures of Kedusha. For the 1% negative, you have to have a Puranus, have to have a cleansing, have to do Tshuva. Zani Yisrael is from Yaakov Avinu, who stole the Brachas. Wonderful thing from our perspective that Yaakov stole the Brachas, yep, right? But it says that by Yizak Esav Zako G'daylo Mora. And it says in the Medrash, as a result of Yaakov being Zoig Zako G'daylo Mora, then Mordechai in Shushan Abira also had to be Zoig Zako G'daylo Mora. So Reb Tzadik says, Ribbono Shelem, you didn't want Yaakov to steal the brachos. It would have been better had he not stolen them. So the answer is no. Of course he had to steal them. But there was something. There was a tinge of negative in that Esav, as a person, was hurt by this act. And for that, a kapara is needed. And that's what the Medrash is trying to express to us. There's no part of the deed which is not taken into account. The overall, it's necessary to do. But still, the negative part has to be dealt with. Okay? That's true about any complex act.
Are we to infer from... Is the Yayim B'Shechar...
Yeah.
Al Tochli Kol Tamei...
Yeah.
We just to assume that until then she ate.
Yes, we're to assume that till today she did. Not basar tameh. No, wine. Tameh here, the Mepharshim say, is something which is forbidden to a nazir. Tameh is a relative statement here, not an absolute statement. Not that she was eating tarfis, but she was eating things which a nazir is not supposed to eat. Who says that here? The Malbim. Kol tameh perish dvorim hasurim le nazir. It's not referring. The Lashon is a little bit difficult, but that's what it means here. Something which a Nazir has to refrain from. That this would be a Nazir's tummy. Okay, Kinoch, let's go on to Pasuk. Oh, let's not. Are we up to Pasuk Dal? Did I read Pasuk Dal yet?
Mm-hmm.
So, what?
Yes.
So, the Rabag says that this prenatal nazirus on the part of Tzlafonis was, first of all, a chinuch, in other words, ready to prepare his mother that she should lead a house suitable. You know, she should take out the wine now and get used to it, because for the long term there ain't going to be any wine in this house. And it was also an attempt to diminish Shimshon's taifa. In other words, we know now, of course, there have been many studies that what the mother does affects the fetus, right? The mother's a heroin addict, affects the fetus, right? And the same thing is true about, obviously, the wine. It was important that Shimshon's mother refrained from wine, so the holiness started already from the womb. The Radak, though, notes that since Shimshon was so holy, that later on when we see all the plishti women which he married and consorted with, he must have been Megayer them. And the Radak, you see, as a long Radak, already speaks about the entire concept of Shimshon, which I don't want to get to in length tonight, but I will mention, since the Radak mentions here, that when Shimshon pursued non-Jewish women, it was a godly thing. God made him do it. It was something which he was supposed to do. And it helped to hold, for reasons which we're not going to discuss tonight, because it's obviously going to require more explanation, it was good to hold the plishtim at bay. This is a way to maintain the security of Am Yisrael. If he married plishti women, and they got along well, so Am Yisrael would be saved. Later, however, he focused on his taiva, he didn't do L'shem Shemaim, and that was his downfall. Alright, but we're going to speak about that next parak. Really, this parak doesn't have to do with it. Let's go on to parak Tzipasakei. Kinochara, because you're going to become pregnant, you're a latid bane, and you're going to have to safeguard this children from from the womb, from the time he's born. Moral loyala rosho, he can never have a razor go upon his head. Kinazir elokim yanar, because the child is going to be a nazir. Mina button from the womb, v'yachel, he will begin loshias Yisrael miyad plishtim, to redeem Am Yisrael from the hands of the plishtim. Now, a couple of interesting things here. If you look at the Malbim, it's a fascinating Malbim. It's from the Medrash. The Malbim says that, I don't know, to put this delicately, so I'm just going to say it in Hebrew, that the Shechva Zera was in her womb from the night before. And she hadn't yet conceived with the Zera. It hadn't yet penetrated the egg inside of her. Now the Malach said to her, okay, now the Shechva Zera, which is in you from the night before, will penetrate, and now, immediately, right now, you're going to become pregnant. Why is this important? Why does the Medrash have to... The Medrash has some diuk in the pasuk, but I you're right, I don't understand why... Rechor, one doesn't understand why the Medrash has to, you know, find this diuk. So if Tzadik wants to explain the Medrash...
Maybe that's answering why it says, you know, attack for Abu Yolad and Bain, it's an alternate explanation.
It says in the present tense. The Medrash, the Medrash says, Hine atorah, now, like, poof, now you're pregnant. So the Ratzadik explains that the very conception was through a malach. Why? In order, not it's not like the virgin birth. This is, in other words, that the malach brought about this conception right now when Manoach was the father. But Ratzadik suggests that this is to diminish the influence of Sheva Dan on the kid. Why? Sheva Dan is problematic. We're going to speak about that later. It's interesting, though, what the malach said, Hu yachel lo she'es Yisrael miyad plishtim. He'll begin. There's no guarantee of success. What happens later, I don't know. Who yachel? He'll begin.
Just I have one personal note. I once heard someone who said that the Kree is what happened to me afterward is more lo yabe al rosho.
More lo yabe al rosho.
Teacher
shouldn't come down in his head. All right. Ish vatovo isha, the woman came. Vatomer l'isha, and she came to told her husband. Lemor, to say the following. Isha lokim bo elai. A man of God came to me. Umarehu, and his vision, or his countenance, was kamar lokim narmod, was like the countenance of malach lokim, like countenance of an angel of God, very awesome. Lo shitiu emizehu, I didn't ask him from where he came, veshmolo igili, and he didn't tell me his name. So let's see here, Reb Tzadik, to take a look at the last three lines on the first page of my notes. Amnam yesh neminesh, the two types of fire. Kigama Yetzora Moshul Eish. The Yetzora is analogous to fire. V'yesh Eish Shamayla Hatoiva. There's a fire also of a good advantage. K'moshkos Avnael. V'chein HaTorah, it says about Torah, lo kol devar, kol devar hakesh, my words are like fire. V'zehim shnei minei hakinos, and there are also two types of jealousy. Kina ra, there's a negative jealousy, shimachal agup hakever, which causes the bones of a person to rot in the body. A person who is jealous is the type of person whose bones rot. Kama shakasu, like it says, umarkeves ha'atzavos, like Chazal say, that jealousy, kina, so it causes bones to rot in the grave. V'kina ha'toiva, what's good jealousy? He, sheyisho pinchos ve'elyo, that's the jealousy of Pinchos ve'elyo. It burned like a fire in their body. L'shem Hashem, for the sake of God. L'kana is to be zealous. V'osei resha, against people who did evil, v'obrei tzonu, transgressed the will of God. Gamem kolech emram. Their body also was destroyed. Pinchos and Elio. Avo shav lios kulatzura, but not that it became destroyed and rot, but rather their body became spiritual. That was the opposite type of zealousness. Yes, it also destroys the body, but not in a negative way, in a positive way, that Eliyahu could go up to Shamayim whole. Lefi shebagia nevuah adam narabaisah, here it's very, very basic what he says here. When a nevuah comes to a person, he meshula gakin leish, the nevuah is, the prophecy is also likened to fire. Kamoshakosu b'yirmiyah, like it says in Yirmiyah, ke'esh atzur batzmosai, the prophecy is like a fire lurking or held in my bones. Vainu means shanavua, prophecy, hidvekus nafshu, is the clinging of the soul, elbora, to its creator. Uvizgabe koach hanefesh, when the power of the soul becomes powerful, yichle koach haguf, it will destroy the power of the body, shuhofcho, which is opposite to it. Lukach oz haya, lios priyagiyoso, and therefore it was that then the fruit of its labor would be schar sheizbatel v'chale hakoras hakochas hagufni mikol v'kol, that a Navi would lose the recognition of his physical self. He would divorce himself from reality. I know you pun of that. It says about a Navi that its face was boros kilapidim, was fiery like a torch. V'inya, and in the matter that we learned out Meshes Manoach, kilo geshem heimoliros bayin gashmi. Malachim, you can't see with the naked eye. It's interesting, Reb Tzadok here. She says you can't see a malach with a naked eye. It's like by the Zmachlokas, Rambam and Ramban, whether malachim take on human form or not. And the Rambam says they don't. Whenever you see a malach, you see it in a vision. So it sounds here like the Reb Tzadok is saying like the Rambam. And he says, V'nei hi amra, Tzalfoni said, Umareu kemara malach elokim, that he looked, this Navi, This Navi, she thought she saw a Navi, was looked like an angel. Nira, it seems, shirgisha mareu, she saw his image, rakbeina sikhli, only in a vision. Kamaran malach. And it looked like a malach. Shlonira gashmi mamish. He didn't look like something physical. Ve'imkoza, nonetheless, faces for shu Navi. She thought, however, that it was a prophet. Why? There weren't any Nevi'im in the time of the Shoftim. There were very few Nevi'im except for Pinchas. Chazon Ifrat's cloud says that Shmuel was the one who brought Nevuah to be very popular in Am Yisrael. Until this time there was a dearth of Nevi'im. Pinchas, who was Elio at the time that Nevuah came upon him, he taka looked like a malach. And therefore, until later in the parak, she saw this malach actually go up to heaven in a fiery flame. She had their choim lagam, which means that the malach is completely bereft of substance. And not just the time when he was prophesizing. She thought he was just a prophet. It's an amazing thing Reb Tzadok is saying. He's saying she thought that this was a prophet. It's just that he looked like a malach because she thought it was Pinchas. And Pinchas was the type of prophet, being Eliyahu Navi and full of that fire, that he was the type of prophet which looked like a malach when he prophesied completely. And therefore she made that mistake. And she mistook a vision of a malach to be the physical appearance of Eliyahu. She didn't realize until later on that even after the Nebuah had ceased and this Malach went up to Shamayim in a fiery flame, that Ataka was truly a Malach and not Eliyahu Navi. Now we're going to see something amazing later on, which is that the Ralbag, I'll let it out of the bag now, The Rabbah says that Taka was Elio, Pinchas. It wasn't the Malach. It was Taka Pinchas. Let's leave that for later. Okay, let's go on. By Yomeli, he said to me, it says by Yomeli, he said to me, Hinochara, you're pregnant. You're going to get pregnant. Or you are pregnant. Be a lot of pain, and you're going to give birth to a son. Now, don't drink wine and any other type of beverage from grapes. Don't eat anything which a nazir is not allowed to eat. Ki nazir l'kimi yanar, because the child will be a nazir, mina beten, from his birth, from the womb, ad yom also, until the day he dies. So the Malbim points out in the name of the Medrash several things which Sophonis changed here. She didn't mention about the razor on his head. There were a couple of other things she didn't mention, but what he did say, she did say, which the Malach didn't say, is ad yom moso. And the Medrash also picks up on that. But it would seem, without the Medrash for the moment, it would seem that she understood. Hu yochel lo she'as Yisrael. He's going to begin redeeming Am Yisrael. He's not going to finish. Well, if she's not going to finish, then obviously he's going to die. He's not going to be the Savior. Well, if that's the case, v'ye'otzer manoach al Hashem. Manoach was oteri davin to God, and the Maal Medrash says that. The Gemara says that tzaddikim, when they daven, they're like a pitchfork. An eter in Hebrew is a pitchfork. Just like a pitchfork turns over the grain, so too the tzaddikim with their tefillah, they turn over the midas hadin and change it over to the midas harachamim. And according to Reb Tzadok, what did he try to do here? He tried to make, with his tefillah, he tried to ensure that his son would not just be mechaloshias Yisrael, but rather that he would complete the task. That Shimshon would takabi Mashiach. V'ayotar manoch l'shep. V'ayom rebi Adonai, and he said, please God, isha lokim asher shalachta, the man of God which you sent us, the Navi, because they thought he was a Navi, they thought it was Pinchas, yavano other later should come to us again. V'yareinu, and he should tell us, man aselanara yulad, what should we do to this child which will be born? No, it's not just what my wife should do as a preparation, but how we can raise the child so he should be able to complete the Yeshua for us. So he should be able to be the Mashiach. V'yishma Elokim b'kol Manoach, and God listened to the voice of Manoach. V'yavo Malach Elokim odel Yisha, again the Malach came to the woman, not to her husband. You see, Tzlafonus is on a higher madriga than Manoach. The Samson struggle, Rabbi Weiss wants to say, actually it's the matter she brings down, that it came that Manoach didn't trust his wife. And that's why he asked God, send the Malach again, I can't trust my wife, who knows, she's exaggerating, not telling the truth. So therefore the Malach came back again to the wife. And as we'll see, so the wife Malach says to Manoach, you should trust your wife. She knows. Listen to what she has to say. Also, part of bringing back the Shalom Bayis. V'yosheves Masodeh, she was sitting in the field. U'manoch Yishoah Enimah, and Manoch was not with her. V'atmayar Yishoah, and she ran back. V'atoratz v'tagei Yishoah, and she went and she told her husband. It's interesting, the same lashon appears by Rivka when Eliezer came, or what? When to Rachel, when Yaakov came, Batomei love, she said to him, Hinei nira elai ish asher baba bayom elai. The man came back who was here you today yesterday. Vayakom he got up, Vayelach Manoach achari ishto, and Manoach followed his wife. And Chazal saying Vesech Deirvin, here's the first place where you see where Manoach was an Amoritz, because everybody knows you're not supposed to walk behind your wife, you're supposed to walk in front of her. Vayavol ish, and they came to the man, to the Ishokim. Vayomer lo, Manoach said to the man, Hatozeh Aish, are you the person Asher dibarta l'isha, who spoke to my wife? Vayomer ani, he said, I am he. There's another shot there which Rashi brings down, by the way, which is what that Achrei Ishto's lafkab dafkatzanti, he followed his wife, but he followed her counsel. Be that as it may, Vayomer Manoach said, Ato yavod v'recha, now speak it out, tell me the whole thing. Maya mishpat hanar u'maseu, what's the mishpat hanar? What halacha apply to the nar? Umaseu, what will his deeds be? What is he going to do? In other words, similar to what he said before, mana seliyar, what can we do to channel his deeds that he will actually be the Mashiach? Vayomer Malach Hashem Manoach. The Malach said to Manoach, because Shamati Allah Isha, everything I told your wife, Tishomer, she should be careful of. In other words, says the Malbim, second proof that Manoach was an Amoritz. He said, you know what? Leave the raising of this child up to your wife. She knows best what to do. That's why I appealed to her. That's what I told her. Why I told her what to do. She knows from what to say to refrain. Because anything from which comes from wine, she shouldn't eat. And nothing which comes from grapes, she shouldn't eat. Everything I commanded her, she should maintain and conduct to do it properly.
This is weird.
Yeah.
Manoah comes in, I want proof, I want to hear it directly.
Yeah.
He's sort of giving, he's dictating. He's giving, and the Malach does, because Baruch Hu says, okay, I'll send the Malach secondly.
Yeah.
Second time. And in effect, the Malach doesn't add one iota.
That's right. That's why the Bible's Medrash, that's why it says that Noach. That's why the Medrash says that obviously Manoach didn't trust his wife, and the Malach said you should trust your wife. That was what went on. Manoach, even if we don't say it like that, we have to say something along those lines that Manoach was not clear what the message is, and the Malach came back and said, I already explained it, there's no need to explain it. He just validated the fact that he had come yesterday and told the woman everything there is to know. But you certainly see from this whole perek that Manoach, we're going to see it again later on, that Slavonis was on a higher madrega and ruchnius than Manoach himself. Which ultimately will be his downfall, will be Shimshon's downfall. It's interesting though, the Reb Tzadik points out, the Malach didn't answer about the Maiseh Hanar and Mishpato at all. Just said, your wife knows what to do, and she knows how to maintain the Nazirus of Shimshon. That's it. Ma'na Asel Hanar, nothing's mentioned here. So the Reb Tzadik says, as far as whether he's going to be able to be Mashiach, like you were Oter before, it's not up to me. It's up to his Bechira. Shimshon with his Bechira will determine whether he becomes Mashiach or not. The fact that Shimshon was a Mashiach and that many Mashiachim failed throughout Jewish history, Chizkio HaMelech and others, are because they, with their own Bechira, they made a misstep, they made the wrong choice. Okay? Vayomer Manoach al Malach Hashem. Manoach said to the Malach, let us stop you here. And let us make for you a goat. So in the Malbim, all the Mepharshim say that Manoach did not know that it was a Malach. But the Malbim says he did, he had a suffix. And he said, Natsron Oscha, we'll stop you. Natsrona means if you're a Navi, we'll make it for you. Naselfanecha means we'll make it in front of you and give it to Hashem if you're a Malach. But it's not Mashma and the Psukim that they knew yet that he was a Navi. The Malbim seems to be a minority opinion. Vayomer Malach Hashem Manoach, the Malach said to God, Im Tatsreini, if you stop me here, Lo Chavalach Mecha, I'm not going to eat your bread. Im Tatsel Lo Hashem, if you want to make an Ola to God, Ta'alena, you may do so. Manoach did not know that he was a Malach. Now, a couple of interesting things. First of all, why do you have to tell him Hashem Talena? So the Radak says, because Nebuch, in that generation, you never could tell who people are going to sacrifice korbanos to. I have to tell him, make sure to do it LaHashem. The Rabbag says that this was indeed Pinchas. It wasn't the Malach. Why? Because Rabbag holds like Reb Tzadik, which we said before, that a Malach only appears in a vision. So the Rabbag says, logically, he doesn't understand how the same vision can appear to two people at once. In other words, Slavonis and Manoach were both seeing the Malach. And if they're both having visions, how are they sharing a vision? So I'm not so sure that's so difficult. But no, we don't find very often that the Nevuahs are shared. According to the Rambam, we do, you're right.
Shem spoke to Miriam and Aaron simultaneously.
Oh, that's why I was thinking about that, Takia. Ha, it's in the Torah, we do see that, right? By Miriam and Aaron, they both shared the Nevuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when Miriam became the Mitzoras. So you're right. I don't know what the Rabbans, you know, why, what compels the Rabbans to say that two Nevi'im can't share the same vision. But Lamaisa, that's what the Rabbah says. So why didn't Pinchas eat? If it's a Malach, you know, Malach has no appetite. Even though they can eat, as they did by Avraham Avinu, they could look like they're eating. So we understand why a Malach doesn't want to eat. But why, but Pinchas, why did he want to eat?
Yeah,
it was all ahead. So the Rabbah says,
another
feast, right? So he wanted to stress the solemnity and divinity of the occasion. That's why he didn't eat. Now it's interesting. It was forbidden to sacrifice korbanos outside the Mishkan. It was a time of Isser sacrifices. So the Radak, I think it's the Radak, points out, the Malmimei points out, that it was a Rasha. A Navi's allowed to make a Rasha, like Eliyahu B'har HaKarmel, Taka did, who was Pinchas, that a one-time thing, a Navi's allowed to say, well, this is a one-time deal, you're allowed to do it outside the Beis HaMikdash, and obviously outside the Mishkan, and obviously that's what Pinchas was telling him.
Yeah, but that Manoach would suggest to him shows either that he wasn't on Amoritz,
either that he wasn't Amoritz, right.
Or that there was
Hefkerut. Either of which things would fit in with the Lashem Tasano, and the, right, it worked there. Vayom Manoach Malach Hashem. Manoach said to Malach Hashem, Mishmecha. Why do you say Mishmecha? It should be Mashmecha. So the Radak says that Nevi'im were celebrities. So he said, oh, Mishmecha. In other words, like celebrities are known by their names as being a persona, not just as being a person. So he said, oh, well, what persona are you? Which celebrity are you? Mishmecha. But that's not Pashup Shad. Pashup Shad is mad that Mishmecha is the same thing as Mashmecha. What's your name? Ki avut v'recha v'chibanucha. Rashi says, ki avut v'recha v'chibanucha means that if you send us a message, ki avut v'recha, if you send us a message, we'll know the chibanucha, we'll know to respect your message. So that means that we have to know how to identify if you ever send us mail about this kid. The Malbim says, what's your name and your address? So if attack, we have a kid, we can reward you, we can send you a present. Avod Recha, when your words are fulfilled, we'll send you a little present as a sign of gratitude. So it's a very interesting thing. The Malbim says, Manoach lacked the concept of Lishma. So real American, you know, he couldn't believe that somebody would do something altruistic without expecting a reward for it. And therefore, he said, you got to have an angle here. All right, fine, we're very happy to have a kid. We'll send you a gift. So it's interesting. Manoach can't conceive of something completely lishma, according to the Malbim. That's going to be a problem with Shimshon. Shimshon, it was imperative in Shimshon's task that he should do completely lishma. The slightest, and that's why he was a Nazir, that he shouldn't have any misjudgment from any influence of wine or any other thing which would cause him to go astray. He had to be completely lishma, completely holy. Manoach was not like that. That's why Manoach's influence, the influence of Shevet Dan, will prove to unravel Shimshon later on. We can't talk about tonight, we'll have to see how it plays out in the next parak. Vayomer Malach Hashem. So the Malach said to them, Lamazetishalishmi, why are you asking me my name? Hu Peli. And it's Peli. Peli has several meanings here. It means it's covered, it's beyond you, you can't understand it. Peli also means the lashon of neder. So the Sefer in the Rambam, which talks about Nedarim, is haflaw. It means separation. Making a neder to separate oneself from something. And now, you're not, we're talking about Nazirus, but my name for this occasion is Peli, separation, the lashon of neder. But there's an interesting Mitzvah on this as well. If you take a look on the last page of my notes, here in 18, from Mitzvah Sefer Sichas Malachi Asharis. Davar Acher, another interpretation of Lu Peli. Amalei HaMalach, this is from the Medrash. Any Yochel Omer HaShmi, I can't tell you my name. Shalafi HaShlichus, Shasholeach, based on the mission which HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us on. Vupeli, it's Peli, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Koro, Osonu Koro Yilun Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the name based on the mission. Vehevei, Vahu Peli, and for this mission, my name is Peli. Lefi Plio Plio, or rather, each mission I have a different name, because Lefi Plio Plio, based on the wonder which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does at each time, through us who Koray Lon Hashem, who calls us a name. That's the Medrash. Be'er Zemash, because Lefi Plio Plio, that which it means, what she means here, and based on each wonder, Ki Lefarish Loshem Peli, Hayadai Kipshuto. We could have explained the Lashon Peli Kipshuto simply. Shalkoch HaShem, Arkein HaShem Nela Mechusa, that the name is hidden and not revealed. Mach HaShem L'Shem Yuchad, because the Mach has no specific name. Aval Ratz HaBazeh. But what does the Medrash mean to tell us? Chepima Shiodanu Shamalachim, because we know that angels, Hei Koichos Yuchadim, are specific spiritual forces. Alkol Pirtei Dvarim Anim Tzoyim BeBriah. For all material things that are to be found in the Bria, in the creation of Mechudeshes, the new creation, Hashem Tzoyim Shem Yisrael, which God made when He created the world. Vine. And we should know, Chepima Nogativ is based on a natural conduct. Iyam Shalakoach, it's not possible for a koach, Sheishana Koach Achet, to be changed to another koach. Ki koichas ateva, because the forces of nature, lo yishanu ma'achom, will not change their course. Kimokoach hasreifa v'achimum, the power of fire and of burning, lo yishtanu lios mekara, cannot to change to be cold or moist, or mazriya, or to give birth, o kayetzi b'zeh. Each power, the specific task which is given in the natural world, huchok, is a law of nature, and won't change. That one power can use for something else, hurak al tzadapela, is a wonder. When it happens in a physical force, that's also called a wonder. Mishamar Lashem, you look like the wife of Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa, who lit vinegar one Arab Shabbos. So Kosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa said to her, "Don't worry." He who told the oil to burn, he'll tell the vinegar to burn. Kachu Baruchni Zakeichus. That only happens on a spiritual level. He who told the spiritual force of fire, the sorfi, and the spiritual force of burning, lios soref, who mishaneu achakach? He could change it afterwards, lios also koch atzom mekar, to make that same self same force cool off. Kasher yaitzis anoga, and when the conduct of the Kosh Baruch Hu goes misein anoga murgelis, from the normal fashion, oz anogas also shor mufreshes, then that conduct at that time is separate. Unique. Mishra and Hagakula, from the west of the conduct of nature. Fupelin, this is amazing. Vizel Shomar, Lefi Pelo Pelo, and that's what the mouth said, based on each and every Pela. Tzon Lamar Shebchol Eis Yishtanus Kocha Sativim. When God wants to change the spirit natural forces, Sherot Hashem Yisbarach Lassos, Az Mishtana Koyachi Mimashu Koyach Acher. Then my nature changes as well. What do I mean by that? What does Reb Tzadok mean by that? Reb Tzadok means that the Malach is sent with a specific shlichus, then he's called Pela. Normally a Malach does what is naturally supposed to be done. That's not called Pela. Nature doesn't change itself. And that's the way nature is. When something goes against the course of nature, that's called Pela. And the only way that can happen is not through the nature itself. Nature itself is very rigid. It's only by going to the spiritual force behind nature and changing it. And that's called a nes, which is nifla, something which is extraordinary. And the Malach is saying, in this case, it's a plia. I'm doing something above and beyond nature. The creation of Shimshon was something extraordinary, something which was transcended any normal natural understanding, as we'll see next week. And that's why it's peli. It's a koch above and beyond the normal koch of Bria. No, well, it's not.
Why?
First of all, she was not kara.
All right, so
it wasn't. It was beyond teva. That's right, and that was also beyond teva. And that also malachim were sent for that. By Yitzchak, for instance, a malach was sent by for you that. Taka, in the when transcendent moments of Am Yisrael's history, the plius involved. All right, but it's late. We'll have to talk about it next week. Right, we're going to see you next week. Don't give it away. We'll see you next week.